Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup, oh, blocked by James! It's over, Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm,
and he got it, young boy!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan, and with me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
It's going fine. The fucking cat got in here again. The store in my guest bedroom slash office doesn't really close properly, and the cat just blasts through with no regard for the law. So I guess
I'm in the exact same boat. My door doesn't line up for whatever reason. Like, I can hear a click, but my dog can push its way in. So I currently have a 30-pound weight up against the door. And yeah.
Look at that dipshit in the back.
Ugh, it's making its way back in.
and he's begging for food, which is triply annoying because he's going to climb in my lap. He's going to get all tangled up in my headphone cord. He already has.
Perfect. And
it's
what you're trying to say is it's what you want to see, right?
It's not what I want to see. It's annoying, and I resent him.
So one thing I want to touch base with you with, because we haven't actually talked.
Yeah, let's talk.
We haven't talked a lot outside of the podcast, which is kind of rare for us.
Yeah, normally we have a fairly running dialogue. But here I'm
going to assume it's because you hate me. We were actually just catching up before we hit record. And yes, I have not been laid off for those listeners that were curious, as we did reference that last podcast. So I have some job security. That's good. But what I want to talk about is, are you actually excited about the possibility of the NBA coming back? Because we've talked about kind of the implications of that.
The implication.
Yeah, because of the implication. But we haven't actually discussed how we're actually feeling. I want to get your thoughts on where you're at with this.
Man, the second basketball's on, I'm really excited to watch it. I think that, you know, like, I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, because I have a kid now, because work has stayed nice and busy, I haven't really had to reckon with too much, like, boredom. Like, honestly, like, in a way, it's a bit of a blessing just right. to be able to, you know, just focus on that stuff and not feel, you know, like I got to, you know, watch 47 garbage. Hey,
you're
games.
Not obligated to tune in to basketball right now. So
yeah, but with that said, I'm really excited to have it back. You know, like so much of, you know, my basketball watching is just having it on in the background and getting to tune in and, oh, that's an interesting game. And you know, I try not to miss too many playoff games in the end. Mm-hmm. So,
it's going to be right in your comfort zone of not watching the Cavs too.
Yes. That's really my preference. So I don't know. I'm excited. I want it back. I want everyone to play if they feel comfortable. You know, I'm going to be excited to do that, to watch it again.
I'm in a weird spot. I was kind of thinking about this today. I'm not anticipating it. Like, I'm not excited for it to return. I feel like intellectually, I know I'm interested in the NBA coming back, and I want to be invested in these storylines. But at the same time, it still feels like there's so much ground they need to cover before they actually come back. And I don't know if it's like a self-preservation thing where I don't want to get my hopes up. But when you look at some of the issues that are coming up with, they got steps 3 through 5 of the plan in place, but they still have to do 1 and 2. We still have to figure out what's going on with the testing, what the rules are going to be, where they're staying. And some of those details are coming out. But as those details come up, those are kind of the obvious friction points between the league and the players.
Hey, I've got a bone to pick. Okay. How do these journalists get away with the NBA is back verbatim in tweets? And no one cares now. No one's mad at them. They were wrong. The NBA is very much not back. We haven't agreed to shit.
Carter, the NBA is back when we're talking about things that aren't basketball.
Yeah, that's actually spot on. I don't know. I'm a little put out. Like, I thought this all had been agreed to, you know, as someone who, you know, doesn't have the luxury of spending as much time on Twitter as I used to.
Yeah.
It is wild. Like going from every second I'm awake being vaguely aware of what's happening on Twitter to, like, even missing 1 or 2 hours a day. It makes wild how much you miss.
Yeah, and I've been mostly
so staying off. So, all the arguments, I was like, oh, whatever. A lot of it's over my head, but we're coming back. And then all this happens. I'm like, wait a minute. I feel like such an I feel like such like a casual fan now.
Yeah, I honestly kind of understand why there's a disconnect with the people that don't consume as much as we do on a regular basis. Like, I kind of tune out a little bit whenever there's less NBA because I need that recharging of my batteries. But it's wild how much you miss. And even preparing for the podcast today, I felt I like consumed a bunch of podcasts and stuff to try to get me up to date because scrolling my Twitter feed, I can't figure out what's going on. And I mean, I guess the biggest news is kind of Kyrie, Dwight Howard, Avery Bradley, and other players kind of speaking up. And Dwight actually spoke or released a statement right before we started recording, which I thought was very, very insightful. And it was a strong message basically saying, hey, we're not actively telling players not to play. We're trying to give a voice to those that aren't as comfortable speaking up. Because obviously there are issues right now that these players want to have addressed. They want to understand what the guidelines are going to be if they go into the bubble and what type of ability they are going to have to speak up on these social issues. And I thought what Dwight had to say overall, as I said, it was a strong message, and I agree with everything he said pretty much.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to read Dwight's statement, but if that's the gist. You know what I've been thinking about with regards to the Kyrie thing, the Dwight thing, the Avery Bradley thing, and how this all snowballs? It's a really interesting like microcosm of how like certain groups act and move. And like we went from for like at least a week or two of my whole timeline is like kind of blurry because I just don't remember when all this, you know, we went from the NBA's back and we all thought we were pretty aligned and agreed on how that was going to work. Mm-hmm. And it just took like one or two people going, are we sure that we want to come back to like this big wave of like all these voices going like, oh yeah, I'm not so sure either. And it's just kind of a wild representation of how really one or two voices can start something. And people who, you know, I kind of sympathize for some of these players who thought they were going back and didn't have any reservations because it's like, oh, I thought we were going and it just took that one voice. Like, I think even like in our personal lives, that's something we can all relate to. Like you're in a meeting with a group and you think everyone's aligned, and then one person plays devil's advocate, and the whole narrative flips.
Right. No, exactly. Because then you're no longer just kind of going with the flow with the whole group. You're starting to question things. And I'm sure a factor in this as well is as they're bringing up these issues, wanting to get more clarity, you have the reality that the county that Disney World is in has gone from just over 1% of tests coming back positive to over 11% testing positive. And we know that the Disney workers are going to be able to leave the bubble and come back in, which makes it not exactly a bubble. So I think when there still isn't perfect clarity on how all of this is going to work, it's starting to kind of, the feasibility of this experiment is going to be called into question.
Yeah, especially like if you're an NBA player, it's like, well, the guy serving me my breakfast can leave. Why can't I?
Right.
Why can't I
have this lovely young lady that I met on Instagram come visit?
Oh, no, that doesn't seem like anything NBA players would be interested in, Justin. They're all family men that just want to spend time with their wife and kids. I don't know, man. It's a really interesting and problematic thing. I mean, the other thing that's a factor here is that, you know, unfortunately, the two places that seemed most viable. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Todd. So everyone say hi to Todd in the frame.
Hi, Todd.
The cat has busted the door wide open, and now it's just over. you know, I think that, you know, the problem is that the two states, you know, Nevada and Florida are two places that have been pretty flippant with their regulations. Mm-hmm. And their you know, what they kind of feel the danger level is. So it kind of puts the NBA in a tough spot where it's like they can only control what they can control. And, you know, they can't tell, you know, a rank and file Disney World worker that makes $10 an hour that they can't go see their families. Like, this
right,
doesn't
right.
work.
Even if there's some hazard pay or a bonus that comes along with it, that's still going to be a tough sell. At least
which
to
is
the
why,
number of people that are required to actually make this thing work.
Which is why, like, I remember when we were originally talking about this, like, probably even before the Disney thing had gotten any momentum, it was like, well, if they're going to do this, everyone just kind of also has to agree that they might get sick.
Right.
Right? Like, that is, like, a reality of, like...
That's going to be a reality for this experiment. It's going to be a reality for next season. And maybe the treatment is going to be improved by that point. But in all reality, like, the situation is likely to be as bad or worse in the fall. And we're going to have to figure out how to get those seasons going.
Well, I guess in fairness for basketball, they actually have the benefit of, like they're going to end in the fall as it currently is slated. And maybe we have a little more momentum by winter time on a fix, but like,
yeah, we're still like, talking about a 6-week break is basically what the NBA has proposed.
Yeah,
that's not a ton of time.
It doesn't really feel like, I just feel like we kind of, you know, it's just like, I think it's on a much more macro level, the kind of conversation that, you know, a lot of people are having with their families is like, at what point do we just, you know, kind of acknowledge the reality of the situation, be smart, wash your hands, wear a mask, but go back to living life, going out to eat and stuff. And
yeah, please wear a goddamn mask, people.
Yeah, well, please wear a mask. But like taking it up a notch, this is where it gets really messy, is these corporation, like the NBA collective group of billionaires trying to make money.
I feel it's messy.
It's all really messy. I think it's really wild that as many people have as confidently strong of takes as they do,
mm-hmm.
Because I find myself getting pulled every which direction.
No, I agree. And I feel like this is a situation that if the NBA could and was honest about all of this, the messaging would be a little bit easier. Because I think one of the problems with this whole situation is everything's basically being negotiated and discussed publicly. And I think that that's really kind of slowing down this process. But if they said, hey, we're doing this because we have financial obligations. By having these 88 regular season games, it's going to generate $650 million in player revenue. This isn't new money. This isn't new negotiations. This is basically us fulfilling our contracts, and it's going to benefit you and the players that aren't playing. They're all going to get that player revenue, and we're basically just accepting risk. But when you say that the number one priority is players' health, or we need to do this so that you guys have a platform for social issues, none of that stuff is going to resonate. It doesn't pass the bullshit detector. And I think the most likely outcome with this is that the NBA and the players union come to some sort of agreement on what avenues the players are going to have to speak up and use their platforms. Maybe the NBA comes up with a program or a fund towards social issues, and they find some way to kind of meet in the middle. But that meeting in the middle isn't going to happen unless the players speak up, which they're starting to, and say, hey, this is something that we would like to address, especially if we're going into the situation that isn't a conventional season. We're making a decision to risk our lives, basically, or the lives of the coaching staff or our health. If we're going to do this, we want to be able to speak up on these certain issues.
Well, then you even have the people who are like, you know, is it, you know, morally acceptable for us to provide this relief for the world when, you know, so much, so many, positive pushes for change are happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one thing that I think we should probably note as two white dudes, that, you know, it's kind of bullshit that they even have to make that decision, you know, like, because on one hand, like, I think, like, on one hand, I'm super impressed by anyone who's like willing to sit out, but then I feel bad for the guys who are like, whose like integrity is being called into question because they want to go play and do their jobs and make money.
Ed Davis spoke very elegantly towards that, basically saying, "Hey, I have a lot of people that depend on me, and I'm trying to create some generational wealth here."
Yeah, and like I feel, and people who have made even less than Ed Davis probably feel the same way. And it's like, you know, like everyone wants, at least who aligns with this politically wants these guys to all be Muhammad Ali. They want to, you know, them to sacrifice their career in pursuit of something greater. You know, Ali refused to go to the war, they want these monster sacrifices because we know they can. But it's like it's so unfair that they're even put in a position where they have to, like, what have I had to give up? For racial justice? Not much. I think that, you know, I feel for the players on both sides of the issue, because it's not a sacrifice they should have to make, but maybe they do. I can't speak to it. I think, you know, Bomani was really smartly talking about, you know, the idea of like not coming back because it serves as a distraction. Like, this ain't a 3-month problem, Jack. That's the big problem there. Is that
I'm very glad that you mentioned Bomani, because not only does he deserve a shout out because he helped out our podcast and our City of Champions, he's just also the one of the smarter voices on this and someone that isn't afraid to kind of call out ESPN if he feels that something's going that they're going in the wrong direction. But I thought his points on this issue were really, really sound, where he was saying he kind of found it offensive when people were saying that the league shouldn't start due to it being a distraction for racial inequality. Basically because, one, other leagues aren't being hit with that label. And it's also kind of insulting in the fact that it's kind of implying that people don't have the ability to focus on multiple things that are going on. It's almost egotistical for players to think, okay, well, as soon as we start dribbling, everyone's going to forget about everything that's going on. I think, Carter, you and I can speak to this. You can have a lot of different things going on in your mind. Like, you can have a lot of stresses, a lot of things you care about, and still consume sports content. My biggest thing is, I think if any player feels uncomfortable playing because of what's going on and they want to be involved in that, I don't think the league should penalize them. I think that this should be similar to the players with health concerns, that if they want to not be that distraction, and they want to dedicate their time to what's going on, there should be no negative impact on salary. But in terms of the league actually stopping, I don't think that's something that's necessary. Like, I think people are capable of focusing on multiple things. And if you're someone that's not able to focus on multiple things, you have the choice to not consume NBA content. And if you still make that choice to consume NBA content, how much did you really care about that cause in the first place, if that alone causes you to derail all momentum and all your caring towards these issues?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I get that line of thinking. I can't help but think it's just not my conversation to have.
Very much. Well, that's why I started that with. Yeah. This is kind of what he was saying.
I think I mostly agree with it,
but it's not my place to tell anybody.
Yeah, I think I've been mostly trying just to hear it out. I do wish that more people could disagree with Kyrie a little more respectfully.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, this fucking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, nut job is like causing problems again. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, he is, and maybe the part of his personality that makes him kind of difficult to deal with makes him more, you know, you talk about agreeable, disagreeable personality traits. Kyrie tends to lean towards the disagreeable tree, but that doesn't mean that he can't make an interesting point about kind of the state of the world. And, you know, sometimes you need,
and,
like,
and especially and when he's speaking on behalf of other players, right? Yeah. And other players agree with his
thing. Yeah, and clearly, by the way, he's not on an island here, as much as that Woj report seemed painted to make him look like a loon, which is...
Which he's already backtracked on.
Which I would hope so. It's, I mean, obviously an atrocity of journalism, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, you know, there's a way of saying, you know, I just wish people were more capable of pushing back in a way that was respectful of, like, hey, you know, like, maybe this isn't gonna work, because unless you're willing to shut down the NBA for years and years, that, you know, that doesn't, you know, the fix is going to take too long to kind of make this play. But ultimately, I don't know. I would sure like to see it come back. I don't know how much a shutdown would advance the cause, but it's also, you know, it's my cause to support, but it's not my cause to dictate. So ultimately,
right.
I just want the NBA, the NBPA to do what they think is right and do what they think is safe and fair. You know, whether I agree or disagree, it's not really... I mean, I hope that it's back, but I'm not going to throw a fit either way. I got other things to worry about.
Yeah, and like, we can be honest that Kyrie hasn't done a great job of developing credibility over the last few years. But that doesn't necessarily invalidate points that he makes. That doesn't just erase everything that he has to say, especially when he is functioning in his role as vice president of the Players Association and speaking on behalf of a lot of players. I am very interested to find out the details. I would love to know the details of this whole Kyrie saying that he want to start his own league kind of thing.
Doesn't that sound like it's a group text, bro? Yeah. Like, you haven't fired off some crazy shit in a group text.
Well, I forget who made the joke. I want to give them credit, but they basically compared it to like a North Korea situation where you say some crazy shit just to see who leaks it. I could definitely see
cut his ass out. Fucking Torian Prince is out. he is booted from the squad. Hold on, I'm gonna go shut my door because that child of mine is being quite loud, and the cat and the dog won't get out of the room. Give me 2 seconds.
No problem. There's no shortage of action going on in the Rodriguez household, and there's no shortage of action going on with our exclusive partners at betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all of UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. Looking for something else other than sports? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Wow, good for you. You banged out an ad read while I was gone.
Yeah. Oh, man, you probably missed the transition. I said there's no shortage of action going on at the Rodriguez household, and there's no shortage of action going on with our exclusive partners at betonline.ag.
Bro, right? We got to talk. That's great. That's great. The Nathan's hot dog eating contest is on. Did you hear?
Yeah, I did hear, and there's
nothing. We got to talk about it.
Yeah, we do have to talk about it. There's nothing I want more or less than a hot dog eating contest without fans. Like, I don't want to hear them mic'd up guzzling down hot dogs.
Bro, the ambient sounds are going to be so foul.
It's going to sound like the grapefruit technique.
Just splashing and gulping and that's so foul.
Thank you. This is an audio medium, and you just like made a bunch of like throw up noises.
So. That's what I wanted. I wanted to gross people out a bit.
You are a truly awful person, unlike a truly great person, Kevin Love, who has been awarded the Arthur Ashe Courage Award for his mental health advocacy. So, I feel like as a Cavs podcast with not a lot of Cavs news going on, we definitely got to give Kevin Love a shout out there because that's really awesome stuff.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's become like kind of, you know, I remember there was a stretch in his Minnesota days and even a bit early on in his Cavs days of like being kind of an unapproachable dude. like, yep. didn't have a lot of friends on the team. I remember it's a big deal that he was really tight with Corey Brewer because he didn't have any other friends on the team and was kind of kept to himself and mm-hmm. didn't seem to be super well liked. So, like, going from that to, you know, like, that's kind of the power that comes with, like, opening yourself up. I know that, you know, we both have, you know, plenty of people in our lives that have struggled with mental illness. And, you know, the difference between someone who is bottling all that shit up and someone who can talk about it and mm-hmm. share with the people they care about is just wildly different. And it's good for your soul and your brain to talk about it. And I think that that's something that Kevin, that's a door Kevin has helped open up, especially for the jocks of the world who are often told not to cry, not to show emotion and mm-hmm. try to, you know, to keep everything bottled up, that more traditional masculine upbringing. And that's Kevin, athletes like Kevin, athletes like DeMar DeRozan talking about this stuff. It goes a long way. And I think he deserves a lot of credit.
It's kind of cool too, because there were times, especially when LeBron was here, that he kind of got pushed to the side. And it is nice to see that even though he wants out of Cleveland now, there's a connection to the city, and it was a big part of his growth, and he had a lot of personal growth during his time here. That kind of stuff, it matters to me. Like, that's the human stuff that doesn't get talked about enough with the NBA. I feel like we move further and further away from that, but that's the kind of stuff that resonates and creates bonds with teams. And I mean, I wish that things were a little bit different and it was a situation that was more in line with where he wants to be at this point in his career. But, you know, overall, outside of a few blowups, he's done a pretty good job managing things and has owned up to when he hasn't done a good job. Did you see the video of the video call he was doing
with Sexton?
When Sexton popped up, they have the weirdest relationship, and I'm here for it.
It is so strange. Not to undermine Kevin as we gas him up, but do you think he does that thing where he knows we know that there's a lot of on-court friction, so he's extra friendly with him off the court?
I think so. I
think
there's an element to that. I do think that they seem to get along off court. I think that he just genuinely has been frustrated playing with Sexton. But
Anyone who plays sports knows there's dudes you love off the court that the second you play with them, you want to kill them.
Right. No, I had plenty of those on my high school team.
Would you like to name names?
I don't want to name names. I'm not going to get messy on this Wednesday evening. But there certainly were people.
I'm sorry. Just wanted to get really sloppy for no reason.
Yeah. Where would that, how would that ever get out? Like,
I don't know. What would any
of those names do for you?
I just wondered if you'd do it. I don't know.
But I think there's some of that going on. And as Sexton improved throughout the year, I think that he enjoyed playing with him a lot more, especially when he was contributing to actual wins. So that was fun. But yes, I definitely agree that there's an element to that. And one of the interesting things is, so we still don't know, even though there are dates set, we don't know if this season is going to happen. And that could either be the result of the league and the Players Association coming to kind of an impasse and things falling apart there, or the virus could derail everything. Like, they're going to be testing players starting next week. As the process begins to get teams into the bubble, the first check-in is going to be next week. And one, I would love to see if they could do an antibody test to see who's had it in the past. I would find that interesting. But we're going to have a lot of names popping up in all likelihood of guys testing positive, and it's going to be interesting to see kind of what the tolerance level is going into the bubble.
We're going to find out a lot, find out quick how committed they are to actually doing this shit, because there's going to be some pretty major bumps along the way that go far beyond a few players suggesting that they might not want to do it or deal with some stuff. I do think the snitch program is an enormous mistake from a competitive integrity standpoint.
No, I need a Rockets Thunder playoff series so we can have Daryl Morey with his spreadsheet of snitching versus Chris Paul. I would be fascinated to see who's left standing by the end of that.
God, the ethics of that. It's like, did they even think about it? You can literally just say a play, you'd lie. And no one can stop you. I've made
jokes that I'm grateful that the Warriors aren't in the bubble. But this is yet another circumstance where they could not be trusted with this information, because Draymond crying from a Mickey Mouse lounge on the phone about somebody going out is not a situation we want to have.
And, you know, the Warriors Twitter will tell you they think LeBron's just as likely. I think that there's a lot of interesting stuff that the NBPA has to be really careful about. Like, for example, you know, like the wearable technology stuff is like, that's something the NBA has kind of been wanting to do for a while. And the NBPA has been really smart to avoid, because they just don't want to give biometric data to their employers.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I'm just saying, be careful. And, you know,
no, for sure.
This is one of those spots where Michelle Roberts has really pissed me off in the past, like in her kind of anti-league, no matter what, like if you want us anything from us, you got to give it back. Sometimes that's frustrating to me, like, you know, cap smoothing, number one, like just rejecting it out of hand. This is where it's kind of good to have a bulldog still in charge, because she will not suffer any fools, and you won't be able to sneak anything past her as a leader for that group. And she's like a real like eye on the prize. Like, we're not taking a situation we don't want, because we're saving your asses too.
So one of the questions I was asked in our Twitch feed here is, what do you guys think it would take to derail the league again? And I think if the virus spread so rapidly where a majority of a team got it in the quote unquote regular season portion of this, I think it would make it very, very difficult for the league to continue. I think they want to get those regular season games in more than they want to get the playoffs. So if they've reached that TV contract point, I wouldn't be surprised to see them have a little bit more willingness to scrap the season. Tim Bontemps actually had a good report. I don't know if you had a chance to check it out, Carter, but basically just kind of see what the doomsday scenarios would be. And he said, if this season gets derailed as a result of the virus, the way that people around the league have described it to him is they kind of treat this as a, hey, we gave it our best shot. We tried to make this work. We tried to recover some of our losses here, but it just didn't work out and things would kind of progress as normal. But if the bubble fails because the league and the Players Association can't come to an agreement, then you're likely going to have the CBA torn up. There's going to be a lockout. And in all likelihood, whatever comes out of that, with the Players Association trying to negotiate a new CBA in the middle of a pandemic, it's likely going to be less favorable to them than the current one. And you may see the owners kind of take back some control when it comes to player movement or revenue sharing or whatever the case may be.
Which functions as a threat, by the way.
No, 100%.
That's a threat. That's I guess we might just have to start over.
That is exactly the correct way to interpret it. It seems like a threat, and it also seems like something that is likely.
I actually don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to find a way to try.
Oh no, I fully believe they're going to attempt this bubble season. Which I'm very tempted to stop calling it a bubble.
It's not a bubble.
Well, like and this kind of speaks towards how my opinions on this have changed. Like, coming into this week, I was kind of anticipating, be like, hey, everyone keeps pointing out the Florida numbers and whatnot, but Disney World's kind of like the Vatican. It's like the Vatican for capitalism, where it's basically its own country. They're going to be shut out. They're going to be safe and secure. No, if the employees are coming in and out, then it really matters that the county that it's in is like one of the hot spots for the virus outbreak right now. And that's going to make things a whole lot more difficult to manage.
I had a really inappropriate joke I just tabled. So
I heard you begin to kind of chirp up, and I'm going to assume we can take this offline, but I'm going to assume it was something that shouldn't be said.
It was definitely something that shouldn't be said. So
all right, well, good judgment there, my friend.
So you know, I saved us from being canceled by myself. So, but yeah, I don't know. What it would take to derail the league? It just feels like. What really would take to derail the league would be a whole team not being able to play for 2-3 weeks. I think that fucks everything up. Like, their margin for error is so tiny. But I also don't know, like...
But what if it's the Suns?
If it's the Suns, we just, you know...
then they're just going to be honest of, hey, we really just kind of wanted Zion, and we don't need you here.
I don't know, man. It's just so sloppy and messy. And, like, you know, on one hand, you want to say, oh, what a terrible idea. And maybe they just shouldn't even be trying. But, like, I also get why a lot of parties are trying. I think that's a really important note, by the way, that I don't want to be a, you know, people are probably going to call me a bootlicker on Twitter. But, like, it's not like just the owners are interested in basketball coming back. There's a healthy contingent of players and team personnel. And this is a huge business that a lot of people want to go work.
Let's make be honest. This is a business. This is a business that exists for entertainment. And they, I mean, as a business owner, and they have multiple owners, but their obligation is to try to make things work and to try to continue earning money. And I think the entire country is kind of taking that approach. Everybody's attempting some version of back to business and getting people working. So I don't think they're in the wrong for doing it. I think it's a risky decision. I think they understand that there's risks associated with it. I think it's possible it could work, but it's going to be very tricky, and it's going to take buy-in from multiple levels, from players to team, the staff, production staff, Disney people. Like, it's going to take a lot of things working together for this thing to actually work and for them to pull this off.
Yeah, I think so. I think they just got to be willing to take some L's along the way. And those L's are very serious L's. Like, I know that, I guess it sounds a little pithy if I say it with that,
as an with L. Those,
yeah, as an L, but, like, you know, like, a player might get real sick, and, like, this is a choice we're making. Like, and I think it's a choice businesses are making across the country. Is
there's some scary shit with this, man. Like,
every business that opens is implicitly saying some of our people might get really, really sick.
Yeah,
and we are owning that. We're shouldering that, and like, I hope that you would acknowledge and shoulder that risk. Because it's there, and you're kind of a piece of shit if you don't. So, you know, I think that's kind of what the NBA is saying, and what their stomach for dealing with it. Well, we'll find out what it is.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And as I said earlier, I think if players aren't comfortable with it, or for either health or for social reasons, there shouldn't be a penalty to that. Because I think transparency in what the league is trying to accomplish, which is basically self-preservation, right? Like, let's get the money in. It's going to help out the players. But those regular season games, that is strictly for the players' benefit. Like, the teams are not benefiting from those games being played. They're losing money on it. Windhorse had brought that up, where yes, they recover some TV revenue, but that's all of this is going to salaries, and what they get in revenue is going to be less than they pay out. So that's kind of a bone thrown towards the Players Association. And the point that he was trying to make is, as the players kind of weigh their options here, they do have to understand that this is a generous deal. If you're going to actually attempt to get this done, it's going to suck. It's not perfect. This is purely to kind of check some boxes, get some money, and keep the league going and keep some of the momentum with the NBA. But it certainly is a very tricky thing. And personally, like, one of the scariest things for me and with this virus is we still don't know the long-term impacts. Like, the Netherlands released a study basically saying that 90% of the people that displayed symptoms haven't fully recovered. Like, they don't have the virus, but their breathing is impacted. They're not at 100%. And obviously for a sport that is so dependent on players being healthy and cardio and all that, like, this could change careers.
Sure could. But on the bright side, at least they're going to be able to see Black Widow early.
Very good point. Very good point. And who knows? Like, let's say this does fall apart. I'm a bright side guy, so hopefully it doesn't fall apart with anything too grim. Maybe it's just, hey, we decided that we don't want to accept the risk and it falls apart. Then maybe the draft lottery can be moved up, because I'm a selfish man to my core.
Yeah, what the fuck? Move it.
I
want to
know where we're picking. I want to know. I want to know if I actually have to brace myself for the possibility of LaMelo Ball.
Lock it. Aren't the odds unchanged no matter what happens?
No, because some of these teams can be in the lottery.
Well, what I'm saying is those teams should be like frozen in time, because these games aren't the same games. I agree.
They should do the lottery for. They should do the lottery for only the 8 teams that aren't allowed to be a part of this.
Well, no, they can still be in the lottery. They just are stuck in their low odds.
Oh, no, that isn't locked in. Because
that should be.
Yeah, but it's not.
These games are fake. They're not real games.
But they count as real games for final seeding.
It's fucking stupid. Yeah, I mean, I don't care, really. It doesn't really impact me other than the Cavs don't get to know their pick for a while.
Well, I guess theoretically, like, let's say the Pelicans make the playoffs. If they also jumped up and got the number one seed, that would be kind of a piss off, right?
Well, I guess just whoever. Nah, you're right. Fuck it. Do it after. But that's the only thing. What I'm saying is they shouldn't be able to, like. I guess my question was, if a team goes 0-8, can they jump a team that wasn't invited?
If a team goes 0-8, can they jump a team that wasn't invited? No, I don't think so. It's just seeding. Okay. Yeah, the record doesn't matter.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine. Yeah. Okay, one last question before we roll. Should the Cavs trade for Rudy Gobert?
Hey. Let's give a shout out to our buddy Evan Dammerall.
Fuck him.
From Locked On Cavs.
He's getting to plug his pod in the chat. He's already been plugged.
We need more love in the world, Carter. I'm giving a little love to Evan there.
That's fine.
He doesn't return.
Thank you, Evan, for always supporting the podcast.
Yeah, see if you do it, maybe he'll return the favor.
And being a Twitch subscriber, and we really appreciate you. That was a very good question, Evan.
Should the Cavs try to trade for Gobert? I mean, they should try to draft him, Gong. No, like, if you can flip Drummond for Gobert, yes, absolutely go ahead and do that. I feel like if teams are going to beat that offer, and it would be very difficult to all of a sudden become a screen assist guy. I don't want to go into that.
Well, you were a potential assist guy for years. What's the difference?
Potential assist makes more sense to me, because that's just a, hey, guys aren't knocking down shots, which most of the time you're never actually seeing a massive discrepancy there. Anyways, Rudy Gobert would be great for the Cavs, because I just want them to be relevant, and they don't necessarily need to be a playoff contender, and Gobert is basically the patron saint of those types of players, so he would absolutely fit well.
That's my guy. Come home, Rudy. We're really sorry about being super mean to you for no reason on Twitter all the time.
Oh boy, yeah. We'll cross that apology bridge if we have to, but hopefully we won't. Likely we won't.
Listen, we took in Isaiah Thomas for a half season. I think.
Oh, Carter. In all fairness, I did write a Cavs have to trade Isaiah before he starts playing.
Yeah, but you were still game. You were nice early on in the tenure. You tried. Ugh. We all tried.
Ugh. I was not there for it. I was not there for it, Carter. Don't you dare represent me in that way. Anything you want to touch on before we wrap this thing?
No. I think we've touched as much as we can. We're not doctors. Shout Bill Burr shitting on Joe Rogan for the very same thing. Great podcast, by the way. That was a great episode. Anyway,
I haven't listened to that one yet. DMT is going to cure coronavirus?
No. But you'll see. It's a great episode. We're not doctors, so we're doing our best to at least talk about what we can talk about. But ultimately, it's out of our hands, Justin, just like everything else.
We're also white, so we have to do more listening than anything else.
No, we do. That's dead fucking serious. We do. So hopefully we can just be supportive in our own way.
Point people in the direction of smart people and learn along the way.
Well, God knows smart people don't reside here. So
I mean, shit, I have that same. I have that same approach for the damn draft. I mean, if I don't know a subject, I go to the experts. So check out Bomani Jones. Apparently, go check out Joe Rogan. Carter going full bro on us. how about that? Thanks to all of our listeners. We really do appreciate all the support. Obviously, these are very weird times, and your support means a lot. If you want to support us directly, you can do so by leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. And if you want to be part of our exclusive Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. Big thanks to everybody once again. Make sure you're staying safe, and until next time, go Cavs.